Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Brian Rice, Director of the Office of Wildland Fire at the U.S. Department of the Interior. Also joining me from IBM is Lisa Yarber. So, Brian, you know, earlier you described your vision for your office. I'd like to talk about what are some of your near-term objectives, and for, say, over the next 2 years, and maybe within the next five, what do you really want to focus on?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are really important. I mean, overall, I want to see the fire program of the future. We have an incredible amount of people that are going to be entering the workforce. When we look at the millennials, the Gen Z, and everybody that's coming in, we have a huge opportunity to really shape the sort of the catcher's mitt for all those folks that are coming in. And so I think that's something that's ingrained in everything that we're doing and talking about. So how are we managing communication? How are we ensuring that mobility needs in terms of geographic mobility across the country is being addressed? But in terms of the program itself, I think there's a couple of places where there's some really good opportunities really fast that we can be working on. And one is better integration of the use of unmanned aerial systems or drones, as some people refer to them. Mm-hmm. And part of that is hobby drone operators, folks that have a quadcopter or a small fixed-wing UAS. Everybody has one. Everybody's kids have them. They're everywhere, and so that's great. There's opportunity in many ways of affixing infrared cameras, video cameras, developing better digital elevation models, all the pieces that come with that. I think there's huge opportunity. I also think that there's a huge opportunity leveraging drone or UAS assets in communications as well. So quite often, the fire community relies on line of sight communication tools. Well, if you raise something up 300 or 400 feet, maybe 600 feet, all of a sudden that communication web and that network just grows immensely. And I think there's another part of it, and this one is really important to me, and that's focusing on location of our people and where they are on incidents and ensuring their safety. Remember, my number one priority is firefighter safety and ensuring that if people are inserted into risky situations, how do we mitigate that? We have a secretary right now who came from the special forces and incredibly visionary in many ways, and fortunately, everybody is connecting on how we engage the use of UAS assets. But then, in terms of where our people are, it's with a transponder or a chip, you know, and it's different ways of doing that. But actually, having real time information of crew X is in certain location, crew Y is in another location, and being able to make those real time decisions, as opposed to historically. It was based on a cycle. As data was gathered throughout the night, numbers were crunched. Morning briefing, everybody was sent out on their assignments. But as we know, weather changes, other external factors change. So how do we get there? And with the development of technology, and going back to that example of the firefighter who had the cell phone taking a picture, I mean, that was it right there. And that was a decade ago that happened. And so, you know, we need to be looking at how we can do things quicker and faster. High speed, low drag is the term that I like to use quite often. And then the other thing that goes with it, especially with the UAS components, is talking about how do we integrate the data that goes into where fire locations are. So one of the campaigns we had earlier last year was if you fly, we can't. And this year it's nowhere to fly. And that is whether it's using geofencing capabilities or other types of technology and data sharing. If you have a boundary of a fire, we can project that because a TFR is created, a temporary no-fly or temporary flight restriction area. And so if a hobby drone operator is operating a quadcopter or a UAS in those areas, it stops all operations, all aviation operations. So those air tankers, the helicopters, all those things go on the ground because all it takes is one of those with a mid-air strike and it, you know, we can cause serious accident or fatality. So definitely looking on that.
So Brian, you mentioned a lot today about the need to collaborate within your organization, within USDA, state and local. What's being done to find new ways for government and industry to collaborate more to help fulfill your vision for OWF?
So I think there's a couple ways that I'm looking to have a broader engagement. And part of this, we learn from the past to pave the way to the future. And so part of the past is the federal land management agencies at one point, as I was saying, every person who worked in fire had a natural resource component. Well, as that workforce is changing, those skill sets are also changing. So we need to be looking beyond our current workforce and our current infrastructure to actually work on the landscapes. So at one point, the members in the federal agencies or the staff in the federal agencies were the experts. They were the ones who went to school and studied all of it and knew the most about that particular landscape. Well, now we have plenty of citizen scientists. We have plenty of folks that live in the local areas. We have other folks working in different areas, and they're able to bring in expertise. They're able to bring in technology and things that they've been working on. We still have to work through all the mediums of how that happens, whether it's contracting or agreements or those types of partnerships. But that still needs to take place. And I think this has been showcased. The one place I haven't talked about yet is in 2009, the FLAME Act was passed. And within the FLAME Act, Congress directed both the Department of Interior of the Interior and the Department of Agriculture to develop a cohesive wildland fire management strategy. So within that, it really runs on three tenets. There's three tenets of the cohesive strategy that drive everything that we do. So it's looking at communities, so fire-adapted communities. It's making sure that communities are safe and they've managed in and around their communities and they have ingress and egress routes. And then other things that are more community-focused that we don't get involved in, whether it's their building codes or zoning requirements. But that's their privilege and their right to manage that. It's looking at resilient landscapes. So how do we have landscapes that are resilient within the wildland fire construct? And then the last piece of it is safe and effective response to fire. In putting that strategy together, stakeholders from across the spectrum were brought together. So industry, states, tribes, locals, federal space, they're all brought together. I think there's more opportunity, but so far it's been a really good step in terms of how we get there.
So you may have alluded to this a couple of times, but I'd like to ask you, what are you doing? What programs specifically are you pursuing to make sure you have a well-trained and technically capable workforce?
So in terms of our workforce, there's a couple of different places. So one of it is we have developed quite a bit of training material, both within the federal space. And when I say that, I usually refer to them as the Big Five: Bureau of Land Management, Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then the U.S. Forest Service, the predominantly five large land management agencies. So a lot of the training and content has been developed by those particular groups and organizations and management functions within those groups, right? And so that's focusing on who's coming in. We've also developed quite a bit of partnerships with other academic institutions. So we're constantly trying to recruit through presidential management fellows programs, the different pathways programs, right? All the ways of bringing in top talented folks into the program. There's been several other acts that have been passed to bring in veterans and give them opportunities to serve as well, in addition to their service already given. And so those are some of the ways we've been able to bring in this next workforce.
It's a great segue into my next and final question, which is, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service and perhaps at the Department of the Interior?
Well, I say go for it. I think my thoughts on this, the Department of the Interior has, in my opinion, I might be a little biased here, but the Department of the Interior has one of the most incredible missions that you can find in government. When you look through all the bureaus that are there and you look at the missions of each one of them, There's an active management component that runs through several of them. There's a conservation component. There's a sort of a protection component, you know, that really seeks to hold things, you know, status. There's an entire gamut. There's even an education piece. Anything that's done across government, you can find it done in the Department of the Interior. There's two places I'd point you towards. So one is in the late 1980s, a group of National Park Service historians put together a document, and they called it the Department of Everything Else. And it looks at the history of the Department of the Interior, whereas many of the other departments that we see today actually originated in the Department of the Interior. So it's an incredible place, rich in history. And the other part of it, a previous secretary referred to it as America's Department. So my cell is, you know, America's Department's a great place. Public service is rewarding. It's challenging. It has all the facets of just an incredible opportunity. I'm totally thankful to be a part of it, and you know, being able to talk about it.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's a great conversation, but more importantly, Lisa and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Brian Rice, Director of the Office of Wildland Fire within the U.S. Department of the Interior. My co-host today from IBM has been Lisa Yarborough. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.